WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, the man behind the mic, and we plan on rocking out this entire hour with Recruiting Day. That's right. Or I should say Signing Day is what it's officially dubbed, right? We have a ton of chatter on the incoming recruiting class for Michigan State and Michigan football right now. As I'm watching here online, Michigan is holding its annual Signing of the Stars on Michigan's campus. It is quite the spectacle. Right now I'm watching some group by the name of Groove rock out to some drum beats. And there's, you know, theatrical lights. There's a huge crowd. While on the other hand, I'm looking at Coach D'Antonio's Twitter page, and it's just Coach D talking to us about the incoming class. Quite the contrast, Isaac, I should say. So we'll dive into Signing Day. We'll have plenty of chatter centered on Signing Day. We will invite Jim Comperoni of Spartan Mag to sort of go through this year's class for Michigan State. So looking forward to that. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls throughout this entire hour. If you want to join us, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And we will also chat about the Detroit Red Wings, losers of five straight right now. Yeah, folks, as I've said multiple times throughout this year, the longest postseason streak in North American sports is in serious jeopardy. And later on in the hour, we will also invite Alexandra Illich, reporter and anchor at WLNS-TV6. Alexandra will give us an update on the Dr. Larry Nassar story. We'll explain later on this hour. Again, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That and so much more, but hey, you know how we start this party. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. And we start with, of course, Signing Day. That's right. National Signing Day for college football is here, and both Michigan State and Michigan are making early progress for the 2017 college football season. Michigan head football coach Jim Harbaugh said he anticipates around 29 to 30 guys to sign their national letters of intent for the Wolverines today. Also announcing new football signees live on the Players Tribune. Here's a snippet.
Please welcome Lamar Woodley, Brandon Graham, and my boss, Athletic Director Ward Manuel.
Ah, yes, the annual Signing of the Stars event. Michigan goes all out when it comes to Signing Day. Now, a few players ready to wear the maize and blue include five-star defensive tackle Aubrey Solomon from Lee County, Georgia, and four-star quarterback Dylan McCaffrey. Now, the Spartans had an interesting shakeup this morning, finding out that verbal commit Donovan Winter will not be signing his letter of intent today. Jail records show that Winter was arrested earlier this week, actually on Monday, on a burglary charge. Now, Michigan State head football coach Mark D'Antonio has been on and off Periscope to announce players as their letters of intent come rolling in. Players that will be attending Michigan State include quarterback Rocky Lombardi, love that name, and wide receiver Hunter Rison. Yeah, he's got good genes, right? Son of former MSU and NFL wide receiver Andre Rison. We will have more on the respective recruiting classes for the Spartans and Wolverines in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. After playing 16 minutes against Michigan this past weekend, freshman forward Nick Ward went straight to the hospital. Head coach Tom Izzo said Ward has the flu. It's going around. Be safe out there, folks. But should be available for Thursday's game against Nebraska. Ward scored 13 points, had two offensive boards against the Wolverines. He now has two straight games without a defensive rebound. And after practice on Tuesday, Ward said he was about 60%. He was on the sidelines watching, but not participating. A touchy story here. Women's gymnastics head coach, Kathy Klegas, is alleged to have known about possible sexual assault allegations concerning Dr. Larry Nassar as early as 1997. Now, Jane Doe alleged she told Klegas she was uncomfortable with Nassar's treatment, but that Klegas told her, filing a report, quote, would have serious consequences, end quote. Now, two additional motions have been filed against Nassar. The new lawsuits say Nassar used acupuncture near the genitalia of two women without notice or explanation of the treatment. Both potential plaintiffs were minors at the time of the alleged sexual abuse. Yeah, Nassar is also accused of using his position as a doctor to sexually abuse patients, which include MSU athletes, student athletes, and members of the USA gymnastics team. He was arrested in December, if you remember, on charges of possessing at least 37,000 images of child pornography. According to the Detroit Free Press, some of those images show Nassar sexually assaulting young girls. His federal trial before a jury begins this month, February 21st. Shocking stuff there. And again, later on this hour, we will invite Alexandra Illich, who has been following the Nassar story very closely. Alexandra, of course, from Channel 6 News here in the area. She'll join us around the 1:45 mark to give us an update on that story. The Detroit Lions are starting off their offseason with a new look. Slightly. The team made a slight change to the logo, changing the outline of the lion from black to gray. Isaac, that's so minor. The team updated the logo on social media without any announcement early Wednesday morning around midnight. The small change has also been added to their official gear, which is just a few months before the NFL will release times and dates for the team's 2017 schedule. The Detroit Red Wings, losers of five straight after a 4-3 defeat against the New Jersey Devils. Kyle Palmieri, he scored two goals for the Devils. Two of the four New Jersey goals came shorthanded. Detroit's Henrik Zetterberg scored one goal and assisted on Nick Jensen's goal. The Wings' next chance to snap the losing streak will take place on Friday against the New York Islanders. The Detroit Pistons are back from a day off and will be hosting the New Orleans Pelicans tonight at the Palace. Sorry, Isaac, my Pistons have to do this to you, Pelicans, brother.
Tell that to Anthony Davis 58 points later.
Is he playing tonight? He's been going through some stuff.
He was playing last night and played the whole game, not his best, but I predict that he's just saving the fuel in the tank, you know, okay, for when it matters.
I see you rocking your Pelicans hoodie behind the glass as well. But yeah, both the Pelicans and the Pistons have lost six of their last nine games and are hoping to end the losing streak after the Pels fell to Toronto 108-106 and the Pistons fell to the Celtics on Monday 113-109. Both teams coming off a loss. This will be an interesting matchup, but the Pistons may have an advantage since they have won three of their last four games while in the friendly confines of the Palace. And Charles Barkley, who has been critical of LeBron James going all the way back 7 years ago, back in 2010. LeBron has mostly stayed away from Barkley, but again, we played a snippet from Barkley's just criticism of LBJ. In a Monday interview with ESPN, he decided to let it all out. LeBron made the comment that he is a hater, along with many other personal jabs at Barkley. After the interview, Barkley simply laughed it off, though, while continuing to poke fun at LeBron, saying, quote, I've only met LeBron casually. He's been great to me, but this notion that we have to be friends, we're never going to be friends, end quote. Yeah, the beef is real. And sad news here for Michigan State football fans everywhere. Former Michigan State University All-American Don Coleman has passed away at the age of 88. Coleman played both sides of the line under head coach Clarence Biggie Munn. Coleman helped the Michigan State football team reach a 9-0 record in 1951 and the team's first ever, national championship. In 1952, Coleman was drafted in the eighth round of the National Football League draft to the Chicago Cardinals. While the 300-pound lineman I should say, wild 300-pound linemen are common in today's football. Coleman was only 185 pounds, but was an absolute stud on the gridiron. He was the first Spartan ever to have his football jersey number 78 retired. Rest in heaven, Don Coleman. You will be missed. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in to be a part of today's airwaves, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. You can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet us at WKAR_sports or at Al Martin WKAR. So much to get to, so little time. Let's start the show.
Feel like we won the lottery by having Coach Harbaugh come back here to Michigan.
That's true.
So I am honored to bring him out now. Here is the man, the myth, a dude who doesn't mind swimming fully clothed.
That's right.
The guy you want leading you into battle every Saturday. Let's give it up for Coach Harbaugh.
Coach Harbaugh.
Just want to thank everybody for coming. Thanks for being here. We got blue skies outside. The blue M flag is waving out there and inside. Inside here we have a celebration. So couldn't be more excited. Great to have all the students, regents, coaches, family here today. And probably no better word in the English language to me than family. Because we're tied at the hip. We are tied at the hip here at the University of Michigan. We are a family. Go Blue!
Go Blue!
Welcome to this hump day afternoon version of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. So honored you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon yet again. It is signing day. Yeah. Commitments are rolling in as we speak nationally. High school players everywhere are taking that next step. Got to celebrate it. A big milestone for many athletes in this great nation. Many athletes in this great state of Michigan. Many athletes here in mid-Michigan, here locally, making those dreams come true. So congratulations to all of our local athletes, which we'll be going through later this hour. But of course, we have to start by chatting about signing day for the Michigan Wolverines football team as well as Michigan State. I mentioned at the top of the hour how there is a pretty big contrast when evaluating how Michigan does things on signing day in comparison to Michigan State. You know, later on this afternoon, and again, keep it locked to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. I'll be compiling a report as Mark D'Antonio, head coach of the Michigan State football team, will be holding a press conference to go through his 2017 recruiting class, name by name, talking about, you know, why each player decided to come to Michigan State, talking about that respective player's strengths. And maybe a few recruits will be available to interview as well. So I'll be putting together a report later on at 3 o'clock. That's how Michigan State does it. And then as we speak, what's become an annual thing now, down in Ann Arbor, right now, Michigan is putting on, I believe this is the second annual. Am I right with that, Isaac? The second annual signing with the Stars?
Yes, it is.
This is the second annual signing with the Stars, because I remember last year we saw it. And a big event. Heck, Ric Flair Ric Flair was even in the house for that one last year. And the tradition continues. A lot of big names in the house. And it's a spectacle, you know. Michigan fans are sitting in the crowd. Lights, you know, lights, camera, action, really, for how Jim Harbaugh does it. And right now, I'm seeing right now, they are introducing individual names of that class, which we'll get to when it comes to U of M in just a second. But I want to start with Michigan State. Bear with me here, and I probably will stumble over a few names. But, and I'm looking at SpartanMag.com. And again, we will invite Jim Comperoni of Spartan Mag later on this hour in approximately 15 minutes to be exact, to go through his thoughts on this year's 2017 Michigan State football commitment list. But looking at that list right now, just bear with me as I go through name by name. CJ Hayes, he is listed as just an athlete via SpartanMag.com. He's from Bowling Green, Kentucky, 6'3", 200 pounds, three-star. Da'Ari Todd, defensive end from Lorain, Ohio, 6'4", 230. He is signed. He is a two-star. Antoine Simmons, linebacker from Ann Arbor, Michigan. So Michigan State stealing a player in the backyard of the Wolverines there. 6'1", 199. He is a four-star recruit. He's signed. Connor Hayward, he is listed as an athlete from Georgia. 6'1", 200 pounds, three-star. He's signed. Josiah Scott, DB from Ohio. 5'10", 165, three-star. He's signed. Jordan Reed from the D. Detroit, Michigan, offensive lineman, 6'4", 284, three-star. He signed as well. Matt Dodson, tight end from Cincinnati, Ohio, 6'5", 226, four-star. He is signed. Dominique Long, DB from Westerville, Ohio, 6'2", 185, three-star. Love this name. Mustafa Khalifa, offensive lineman from Dearborn, Michigan, 6'6", 285, three-star. He is signed. LaShawn Polino from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. My mom lives there now. Defensive end, 6'3", 230, three-star. He is signed. Jacob Panasuic, Roselle, Illinois. Defensive end, 6'4", 260, three-star. Weston Bridges, Copley, Ohio. Running back, 6'1", 200 pounds. He signed, three-star. Darian Clemens from Ohio, listed as an athlete. 6'1", 210, three-star. Matt Carrick, Massillon, Ohio, offensive lineman, 6'4", 320, three-star. Rocky Lombardi, I mentioned him in our headliners. Quarterback from West Des Moines, Iowa, 6'3", 220, three-star. Hunter Risen, he's got good blood. Wide receiver from Ann Arbor, Michigan, 5'11", 190, four-star. Kevin Jarvis, offensive lineman, Park Ridge, Illinois, 6'5", 315, four-star. Jack Camper, tight end from Bradenton, Florida, 6'4", 225, three-star. Cody White from Wallet Lake, Michigan, wide receiver, 6'3", 190, three-star. Laris Nelson, Plantation, Florida, 5'8", 172. He is a two-star. I'm seeing here on SpartanMag.com that he is not officially signed, but he is on the commitment list. Trey Person, defensive back from Atlanta, Georgia, 6 feet, 165, two-star. He is not signed officially. And Donovan Winter, defensive end, Orlando, Florida, 6'4", 240, three-star. He is not officially signed. And I mentioned in our headliners how the Orlando Sentinel reporting that Winter was arrested on Monday and charged with burglary and larceny of a firearm. He is no longer enrolled at Bishop Moore High in Orlando, and the status of his scholarship offer with the Spartans is up in the air right now. So with that being said, Michigan State's team recruiting rank nationally sits at, I'm seeing two numbers here, 30 and 31st nationally. Quite the contrast. In comparison to last year, we all know that Michigan State football is coming off a down year, a 3-9 overall season. When you look at last year's commitment list, Michigan State had a national ranking of 17 and a Big Ten ranking of 3. Folks, that's what a 3-9 season does. You're seeing the effects of it right there. National ranking of 17 last year, now 31st this season. Last season was the best recruiting class that head coach Mark D'Antonio had. But you know what? I'm seeing a lot of dialogue here concerning Michigan State's class and a lot of angry, frustrated Spartan fans. And I get it, because anytime you take a dip like that, and anytime you have a season like Michigan State football had last year, you are going to see a ripple effect in many areas. In the area that comes up primarily is recruiting. You know, that was the big question. How would a 3-9 season affect Michigan State football, if at all? And I think we see how that has affected the team. Now, granted, I want to throw this out there because I'm seeing a lot of Spartan fans hit the panic meter. I actually had a fraternity brother of mine. He put a status out just venting to the Facebook world a few hours ago saying that, I don't know, Michigan State, this is going to be we're going to enter a down phase for some years now with having a recruiting class like this. You know, we don't have any five-star recruits. Oh, my goodness, what is going on here? I want to let this be known. Hey, last year, Michigan State's recruiting class had a national ranking of 17. That talent, you have to believe that talent is going to rise, okay? When you saw that class last year, that you have to believe that that class last year is eventually going to pay off for the Spartans in due time. So I don't believe it's time to hit the panic meter here at all. And I think that Mark D'Antonio has shown in the past that he's been able to do wonders when it comes to the whole two-star and three-star recruit system. And you guys know me, all right? When it comes to the stars and how certain guys are heralded in comparison to other incoming recruits, I'm not big on that. We don't know how good these young pups are truly going to be until they put on that green and white jersey. Not to stomp on recruiting, because recruiting is certainly important. It is how you build a program. And I think that is evident when you look at who consistently has the top class in America. That being schools like Alabama. Alabama, yet again, has the top recruiting class in the nation. You have Ohio State in that conversation. Michigan is in that conversation, and Michigan is going to be relying on incoming recruits pretty heavily, considering the fact that they are losing 40-plus seniors that were on last year's roster. So a lot of young pups are going to have to be thrown into big roles, into new positions, quote unquote. But again, it's evident. You know, you look at some of the sexier programs here in the nation. I mean, they built those programs based on top recruiting classes year after year after year. I'm not ignoring that. I'm just saying, when you look at the past for Mark D'Antonio, he has shown that regardless of national rankings and regardless of quote unquote stars, he's been able to develop whatever talent has come to East Lansing. I want to get your thoughts on this year's recruiting class, though. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Weigh in via social media at facebook.com/currentsports. Or again, via Twitter at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR _sports. Isaac, give me your brief thoughts on this class, and what is your response to those out there saying that, man, Michigan State has taken a huge dip here, which is evident, right? When you look at the star system here, 31st in the nation, how do you respond to that as someone who knows this team, who has covered this team the last 2 or 3 years or so?
Simply, this class is not as good as last year's. And right now, I think that's evident. I think that's apparent. And I think it's clear that MSU, if they drop another three-star recruit today, then I think it's clear that maybe this team is reeling a little bit. But let's make one thing clear. Mark D'Antonio came into this team for the first 5-6 years fighting for respect. He finally got it. And with the playoff, he was finally able to elevate the recruiting class to the ranks of the nationally respected and the nationally prestigious teams that always are competing for the top prospects. MSU's not up there anymore, but it doesn't mean that they can't build themselves back up. The thing is, yes, this sets the Spartans back, but as I was saying, this is what now, the class of 2021? MSU's class of 2020 was excellent. They were superb coming in. Those receivers, Cam Chambers, Donnie Corley, will be studs next year for this team. The thing is, It's going forward. What will the class of 2022 look like, 2023, if the class of 2020 can develop into the players that many people expect them to? Then this class will be normalized. It'll be washed away. And you know what? You'll find a few diamonds in the rough. You'll keep them. Everyone else will be left by the wayside. But one recruiting class has never made a team greater, ever ruined them either. The thing is, though, there is a correlation, a strong correlation between the number of top recruits, nationally ranked recruits that you have, and the success that the team has. ESPN did an article about it. In two of the three first college football playoffs, the team with the most ranked recruits has actually gone on to win it. That does say something.
It does, and you can't ignore it. And you know how I am. I just signing day and recruiting, I think it's been totally overblown. And I'm coming more so from this perspective. When I see young kids who are being catered to the way they are now, just to woo them to try to come to a respective school, it bothers me. Because a lot of these kids, with that being, not all of them, but a lot of these kids come to campus and they have this entitled attitude that just irks me. It really does. But on the contrary, and I think Mark D'Antonio has been able to recruit kids with high character. You know, they come in very humble already. Now, a lot of that may have to do with the fact that some of them are 2 to 3 star recruits and they have something to prove. They come in with a chip on their shoulder. Antonio loves that. But even some of the high recruits that Coach D'Antonio got last year, they played hard. They played hard. Now, and I think that it's good. That's why I say it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen with this whole Donovan Winter situation. Again, Donovan Winter, he is not officially signed, but Winter was arrested Monday, charged with burglary and larceny of a firearm. I think he just threw his scholarship out the window because historically, when something like that happens, I mean, we can go back to the whole J.Rue Campbell cash tech situation. J.Rue Campbell body slamming a security guard, then J.Rue Campbell getting into it on camera with his girlfriend, right? That's not the type of character that Coach D'Antonio recruits. So I think it's safe to say that Donovan Winter will not be a Spartan. I'm just throwing something at the wall here. But again, you let the legal system play out.
Agreed.
But a lot of these kids come to campus here at Michigan State with a blue-collar mentality. And I'm not throwing shade at any programs here. I'm just saying I see a lot of kids nationally not coming with that attitude based on what I think a lot of it has to do with how the recruiting process is today. 3 minutes before we bring on Jim Comperoni of Spartan Mag, I want to introduce two more of our current sports production assistants that will be helping us throughout the semester here on WKAR radio and TV, for that matter, when it comes to current sports. And right now in studio, live here in studio, as we have Connor Clark and Sydney Robinson with us. And I want to get their brief thoughts on the whole signing day fiasco and their thoughts on Michigan State's recruiting class. But first, Connor and Sydney, thank you so much for joining me today. How are you guys doing?
Doing good, great. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you. Thank you guys for joining us. Now, I'll start from my left. Connor, what are your thoughts on Michigan State's recruiting class? And in what way did that 3-9 season hurt, if at all, in your eyes?
Well, I mean, it definitely hurts a little bit when you come down because you're not going to get the same class, you know, when you go to a college football playoff. But I think with the guys that they recruited, I think the impressive part is a lot of these guys, they stuck together when they could have decommitted and gone somewhere else. Mm-hmm. They've done a good enough job at least retaining a decent amount of talent in that matter and coming back. Because easily you could see a 3-9 team, all of a sudden you go, you know what, I'm a 4-star guy, I'm going to decommit, I'm going to go somewhere else. And it's been a little bit impressive for MSU to hold, you know, something like that. Plus, you know, traditionally, when you look at the Bamas you were mentioning, things like that, you know, they built a football culture here. Mark D'Antonio's been trying to do that for a long time, and they finally, you know, he gained that respect. We talked about that respect, and it's kind of tough to keep that going. You know, you really got to have the culture. I remember talking with, you know, Tom Izzo about just the basketball culture, and he was talking about how, you know, to win the state of Michigan, you know, those players with, you know, the Fab Five and stuff like that, they're always going to Michigan, and then it took, you know, 10, 15 years to get, you know, to try to win back the state. And now when you got Harbaugh going to Michigan, I mean, it's tough for D'Antonio to win the state. So it's going to be tough. So that's why you're going to see those 30 and 31st. Ideally, you want to be in the top 25, clearly. But, you know, it's going to be tough. But with the 3-9 season, I think they still did a decent enough job retaining you know, some talent. And, you know, we all know D'Antonio is supposed to be the wizard at building them afterwards. So I think he has at least a good starting spot. Clearly you want, you know, some five stars in the mix, you know, some more four stars. But I think he did a good enough job retaining what they had to at least build off of something. Because, I mean, clearly it's a little hard to get worse than 3-9.
I like that. I think that was very well put, Connor. And I do believe that, you know, and you talk about building the program. And Izzo, you know, Izzo had a great quote earlier this year. Mark D'Antonio had a great quote earlier this year during the football season where he said, you know, I feel like a lot of guys here were, quote unquote, born on third, right? They don't know what it's like to go to first base, second base, trying to build, basically saying they don't know what it's like to build a program, to be in the trenches and to start from the bottom and go to a row and then go to a Rose Bowl, then go to a Cotton Bowl, then compete for a national championship. And I think this 3-9 season can play off two ways. We could see a lot of guys, you know, who look at it and say, you know what, we can only go up from here. Let's work our butts off and show that. And we could also see when having a recruiting class like this, possibly another dip. I don't think you can get worse than 3-9, though. They can only go up from here. So, Connor, I think that was very well said. Sydney, are you impressed with this class for Michigan State?
At this point, it's just like you never know with the Spartans, what they can bring, what they won't bring. But from this season, it's just like the team they had a lot of good aspects, but as far as, you know, just like winning games and stuff, something was missing. Mm-hmm. So as far as this class coming in, it's just I hope that they come in focused.
You can only hope, right?
Only
hope is the big word that I think a lot of Spartan fans are holding on to when having this conversation. Isaac, am I right?
Yeah, you sure are. The thing is, with this team, Donovan Winter will make a difference. That's one thing to hope, that this doesn't materialize into anything, because let's not make any mistakes either. The Spartans could use the help on the D-line. But it is hope. It's hoping that this develops the way you want, because when it is four stars, five stars, it's not guaranteed. It's not sealed. These are future NBA, NFL players. What it is more certain that these guys will be instant contributors.
Certainly. Certainly. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. In the meantime, Michigan has a top five recruiting class, number four nationally. We'll dive into Michigan later on this hour. Before we get Connor and Sydney out of here, I want you guys to talk about your beats that you will be covering for us throughout the semester. Sydney, what are you covering, and what's your first story?
So my beat is sports, business, and health. And my first story is just about ACL injuries and other common injuries among college athletes, and just basically what is being done after, you know, you have the surgery, as far as, like, you know, getting back into the game, and then, you know, just how to prevent those from coming back. So, like, you know, they have tests and things that they're starting up to, you know, probably detect an injury before, like, it even happens, so that way, like, you know, they can try to prevent it from happening before the player actually, like, gets on the field or the court. So just stuff like that.
Technology is a beautiful thing, isn't it? Thank you so much, Sydney. Connor, what about you, my friend?
You know, it's going to be great. We're going to be covering some men's and women's golf. You know, I mean, you got to love it. I know.
I love me some golf, man.
The snow's back. You know, the snow's back, but it's at least still some hope. So, you know, first story, I was talking to head coach Stacey Slapping-Stoll for, you know, the women's team. And, you know, I was talking back and forth, and I was, you know, looking at the roster, and there's a freshman from Spain, Paz, spelled P-A-Z, though. Out of Barcelona, gotta make sure I say it right. She corrected me a few times, but out of the 20 years that, you know, Stacey's been the head coach, since her first lefty too, it was a little weird twist.
Wow, so, I didn't know
all
that.
Those years, the first lefty, and I, you know, I was talking to her about it, and she's like, you know, it's not that big of a deal, just how I mental, you know, everything mentally. But I think, you know, the way that she recruited Poth was pretty cool, just with technology these days. She used Skype, you know, with different things, so now she was like, you know, using Skype, going into cafeterias, you know, this is how this looks. And, you know, now we're going to go to the facilities. This is how this looks. Because you only get, you know, 48 hours from the NCAA to come visit. How are you going to ask a teenager to fly over from Spain for 48 hours, get back a plane and go back?
Exactly.
She eventually did it, but it's a little tough to get that first. So that was kind of cool in her recruiting process, you know, and she was, you know, quite successful her freshman campaign.
Looking forward to that story. And yeah, even though there's snow out on the ground, that new golf facility that's just been built is state of the art.
Oh,
so they
so
can just
nice.
Go in and just go to work, right? Connor, Sydney, thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will chat with Jim Copperoni of SpartanMag.com. Jim will dive further into this year's recruiting class for Michigan State football. That chat and so much more. Don't go anywhere. To WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Again, you can call us 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Or go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Want to read a quick comment for coming from our listener, Ben Grimes. Hey, Al, just want to say that the Wings are done. The streak is over. The team has no leadership and no heart. They allow two shorthanded goals to New Jersey, one of which came on a 5-on-3 power play. And that just can't happen. Then Ben goes on to kind of highlight the whole situation when it comes to Charles Barkley and LeBron James, which we'll get to later on this hour. And he weighs in on National Signing Day, saying that as far as National Signing Day is concerned, it will be interesting to see if the Michigan State football team can bounce back next year. And in the years to come, with all of the new recruits and with all of the returning players they have coming back. So, again, yeah, it's so tough to talk about signing day for me, Isaac, when evaluating the personnel that they have coming in. Because, again, you just don't know how good these young players are going to be. We're basically looking at stars. We're looking at high school statistics. We're looking at height, weight, and then trying to draw conclusions about how good these young pups will be on the Division I collegiate level. It is impossible. It is all speculation. Granted, again, going back to what we stated in that first segment, granted, stars do matter. I think to a degree, I think more so in football than any other sport, stars do matter, because if you look at the top teams with consistently top recruiting classes, those are teams that are always in the national championship conversation year after year after year. We're talking about the Alabamas, the Ohio States, the LSUs, the Florida States, the Clemsons, the Michigans now. I mean, right? I mean, they're always in that conversation. And I think that a lot of Spartan fans are and, you know, should be a little bit put off by the national ranking of 30 because, I mean, this is a team that was trending upward coming into last season, right? Coming off a 17 nationally ranked recruiting class. However, Mark D'Antonio deserves a chance this upcoming year to see if he can right the ship, because he's shown in recent years, with the exception of last year, that he has been able to turn lemons into lemonade, right? And I think that When you look at a guy like Mark D'Antonio, he knows what he's doing. And also, I would like to give a big shout-out to Curtis Blackwell as well. He is the recruiting czar for this team. I mean, his name is always in the mix when it comes to wooing some of the biggest recruits here in the state of Michigan. He's had such a big hand in doing that in the city of Detroit. So we'll see how this pans out. In the meantime, you know, I'm looking here. And this is coming via the Detroit Free Press, and I'm seeing, I don't even know what these brothers are called. I don't even know their names, Isaac, but they're on, like, Burger King commercials all the time. I guess, I don't even know if they went to Michigan, but they're hosting the event. I don't even know what their names are. But they're hosting the event, and you see all of these former Michigan football players. You see the big crowd. You see the Michigan band. Jim Harbaugh comes out. He's all enthusiastic. You may not be a fan of the Michigan college football program. You may not be a fan of Jim Harbaugh. You may not like how things are run over there. But at the end of the day, real recognizes real. You got to give a lot of respect for how Jim Harbaugh plays the game, how he plays the recruiting game. And I do respect it. Jim Harbaugh is a guy who never sleeps. He goes to work. I mean, you see, he's trying to – this is what I think is really the key in 2017 recruiting, Isaac. You have to find a way to relate to these young kids nowadays. Attention spans are so short, and you never know what it's going to take or what it will take to woo a 16, 17-year-old kid to your program. And Jim Harbaugh knows that, hey, at the end of the day, it's about wins and losses. At the end of the day, it's about getting those big recruits. I'm going to find a way to relate to them, whether it is putting out a funny Instagram or Twitter post, or whether it is bringing the Michael Jordan brand, Jumpman brand, to the college football program, or whether it is holding an event like Signing of the Stars, where you introduce these kids like they've already won a national championship. It's working, and you can't knock the hustle, Isaac.
Well, that's the thing. Five stars nowadays are being treated like stars on Hollywood Boulevard. Let's be honest. This thing has been blown out of proportion. You heard the song coming out of the break. It's who started the fire? You know, that's what I want to wonder when it comes to recruiting, is who set off this trend where kids nowadays, 18, 17-year-old kids, are treated like some of the nation's most famous and acclaimed athletes. It is a little bit too much. I saw Bleacher Report. They definitely deserve some of the credit for perpetuating this trend. They had a video of some kid today committing from Paris. What? Why was he in Paris? You know, I mean, I remember, I think back to our chat earlier in 2016 with Bob Apiza,
right,
who was in the Philippines, and they flew out, they got his signature, there was no press conference, there wasn't even a hat choosing, he just signed with the person he wanted to sign with. It was a signature on a piece of paper, on a contract. That's how it should be. But I remember just 5 years ago, kids used to do these things where they'd have a press conference at their old high school, and they'd choose a cap. They would just put on a baseball cap. You knew where they were going. Now, even for the most simplistic ceremonies, you've got these kids who put on one hat and then they throw it into the second row and then don the jersey of another school and then rip that off to alert people that that's not the school either. Then they, you know, reveal that they've got an undershirt of a different school.
Right.
I actually saw that today.
Yeah.
It's gotten ridiculous. Let's face it. So, as much as I like the spectacle, it is too much. The thing is, though, you got to play within the rules of the game. So Mark D'Antonio, I commend him for being old school and saying, I guess this is old school now, but tweeting out, congrats at Hunter Risen, welcome to the team, or something like that. But the thing is, that doesn't make the news like sleeping over at a player's house does. That doesn't make the news like having Migos perform at National Signing Day for your school does. Michigan is playing the strings of the recruiting instrument beautifully. They're playing it perfectly, and that's why a team that's traditionally not had great seasons has been able to stay within the top five year after year, and they perpetually will keep it up.
For sure, and I want to throw out a few local names as well. Some of our stout local talent here in the area have also made their respective college choices. And a few names I want to throw out. Tanner Motts, St. John's. He'll be heading to Western Michigan. Kentre Patterson of East Lansing, Illinois State. Cy Barnett of Williamson. He'll be headed to Ferris State. Brandon Blair of Corunna going to Northwood. Bryce Bertle of Fowlerville. He'll be heading to Northwood as well. Ryan Cornjeo Alma. He'll be heading to Saginaw Valley. Cooper Clapp. Love that name, from Corunna. He'll be headed to Ferris State. We've got Anthony Hum from Alma heading to Hillsdale College. Ross Feldposh of St. John's heading to Hillsdale College. There's a whole name. I want to bring out Jared Smith of PW. And that's the big thing. I mean, you look at Jared Smith. I mean, he broke the record for most yards on the ground from any high school player to ever play in this state. I was very shocked that Jared did not get any D1 offers or any D1 colleges were looking at him. I think he was a victim of playing for PW, and he shouldn't have. I mean, the kid is just a talented player, but he will be going to Michigan Tech. He tweeted that out Earlier today. So congratulations to him. But you have names like Jared Sutton of Waverly going to MI Tech as well. Just a whole list. LSJ, they have a whole list right now of some of the local talent and where they will be heading. I want to hit our second break really briefly here, because when we come back, we will shift gears from all of the signing day talk. And Tom from Grand Rapids, I see you as well, my man. We're going to talk with Alexandra Illich, reporter and anchor at WLNS-TV6. She's going to give us an update on a very disturbing story that is developing as we speak with Dr. Larry Nassar. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. 517-355-WKAR is the number to call. Want to shift gears from all of the signing day talk, and I want to bring up a very disturbing story that has been in the news cycle for quite some time now and is still developing. Dr. Larry Nassar, formerly of Michigan State Athletics, is accused of using his position as a doctor to sexually abuse patients, which include Michigan State student athletes and members of the U.S. gymnastics team. Nassar was arrested in December on charges of possessing at least 37,000 images of child pornography. And some of those images show Nassar sexually assaulting young women. Yesterday, there was a development in which a current Michigan State University coach, in which her name is involved, and we only have limited time with her, but we now invite to the show Alexandra Illich, who is a reporter for WLNS-TV6, who's been following this story closely, who has the name of that said Michigan State University coach who's involved now in this whole fiasco. Right now, we invite Alexandra Illich to Current Sports. Alexandra, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing now?
Fantastic. Allie, I know we've only got you for a few minutes here, so can you kind of give us an update on this story and which Michigan State coach is now named in this report?
Yes, so first, let me start by saying, if I can, Al, that these are purely allegations, you know, unless proven otherwise in court. But yesterday, in a complaint that was filed, Kathy Klagis, who's the MSU gymnastics coach, who she's been the gymnastics coach for the last 27 years, is the first time I personally have actually seen a someone named in a complaint saying that all the way back to between 1997 or 1998, a student athlete went to her saying she was concerned over treatments that Dr. Larry Nassar was providing her. And the complaint is alleging that Kathy told her that she was misunderstanding or reading into what Nassar was doing.
Allie, I have to ask, when it comes to these allegations, what specifically is being alleged here?
Allegations here is that Kathy, in the lawsuit, in for lack of better words, I guess, she intimidated this athlete, saying, you know, I can file this complaint of you saying that you're concerned over the treatments, about what Dr. Larry Nassar was doing, but you're going to have serious consequences. There will be serious consequences for you and Dr. Nassar. So the complaint alleging that, you know, when the student athlete heard that from Kathy, she felt intimidated and embarrassed and scared. So whether or not, you know, she decided to take things from there, I guess, you know, I'm not so sure. It doesn't say in the suit, but yeah.
Where are the next steps to this case now, Alexandra? Because you look at it, I know he was arrested, as I mentioned, in December on the child pornography charges. Are there still more allegations and more former student athletes coming out and telling their respective stories?
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, Al, since last Friday, there's been a couple of motions seeking to add plaintiffs to a federal lawsuit, which has now more than 20 different plaintiffs or student athletes and other people who are alleging that they were victims of Dr. Larry Nassar. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, as time goes on, I can't speculate by any means, but there has been a number of people who have come forward who have been seeking to be added to this federal lawsuit.
Wow. Again, it's a story that is sending shockwaves throughout the Michigan State community, and I believe his federal trial will begin sometime this month. Is that right?
Correct, yes.
I believe February 21st is the date I'm seeing, at least. Okay. Well, Allie, will you be following that story as it unfolds later on this month?
Yes, I will be. Definitely reading through different lawsuits and following any developments and getting updates as they become available.
Okay, can we get you back on as the trial proceeds?
Sure.
Alexandra Illich, reporter and anchor at WLNS TV6. Alexandra, thank you so much for the update.
Thank you, Al. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
517-355-WKAR. Oh, I see we just lost Tom from Grand Rapids. So, Tom, if you want to call back, we've got like eight minutes left. Man, time flies in this show. We were hoping to get Jim Comperoni of Spartan Magazine on with us, but we've got nothing, right, Isaac?
Nothing as of right now.
Okay. I want to bring up real briefly here, Isaac, the whole Detroit Red Wings conversation, because this is a story that I want to devote more time to tomorrow, for sure, because it's a story that a lot of Red Wings fans are frustrated about. You know, this team is now on a 5-game losing streak. They are embarking on, well, they currently have, I should say, the longest postseason win streak in North American sports. And it's hard to believe that in the very last season at Joe Louis Arena, that the Wings will go out like this and not make the playoffs. Riveting stuff. Are you shocked? I should just pose that to you as an introduction to this conversation, which we'll start tomorrow, Isaac. Are you shocked that the Wings are struggling like they are?
No, and nobody should be. I mean, this was expected from the beginning. This is not a team that won the Stanley Cup last year and then suddenly fell off a cliff. This is a team that's been trending downwards for years. This is a team that brought in Jeff Blashill, presumably, to build this team from the bottom up, to bring all that Grand Rapids Griffins talent to fruition at the major league level. This is a team that should have gone into rebuild mode earlier, in my mind, but they're finally starting maybe to embrace that trend a little bit. 25 years is great. Let's cut it at a quarter century. The thing is, yes, this team, I think they are out of the playoff picture. I don't think they're making it. But the thing is, this is something that Red Wings fans should welcome. Mediocrity is the last place you want to be in sports. You do not want to be the Chicago Bulls. You do not want to be the Carolina Panthers right now. You want to either be at the bottom of the bottom or the top of the top. And if you're not there, it's time to start looking who you can get in the draft and time to start assembling a franchise.
Yeah, well, I think we've seen this coming for a while now. I mean, there's been a lot of talent turnover for this team when it comes to leadership because, I mean, some of the premier players for this squad have just gotten older and end up retiring and just aren't the same players they used to be. And you bring in a lot of young talent. A lot of young talent to this team that lacks experience and are still trying to find themselves on the ice. It's the perfect storm right now. And I do believe, again, yeah, you can look at this two ways. I mean, you know, yeah, is it sad that the Detroit Red Wings, they don't look like right now they're going to make the playoffs? Yeah, it's sad, especially, again, last year at the Joe, you don't want to go out like this. But at the same time, this could position the team to have a great year next year, and it could possibly propel them to really establish a foundation to work with. So we'll dive more into that on tomorrow's show. The Michigan recruiting class here, Isaac, again, it's signing day. We've been chatting about signing day throughout most of this hour. I just want to give the top 10 schools, the top 10 recruiting classes. This is according to ESPN Insider. Number one, Alabama. Number two, Ohio State. Three, Georgia. Four, Michigan. Five, LSU. Six, Florida State. Seven, USC. Eight, Oklahoma. Nine, Clemson. And 10, Stanford. Are there any schools in that list, Isaac, that surprise you?
No, none at all. I think USC made one of the biggest jumps from towards the middle of the season until right now, just because the way that they closed that win over Penn State, of course, was momentous. But the thing is, all of these schools you'd expect to be there. I was actually checking ESPN's ratings myself as the day went along, and no surprises, but I saw Michigan only has 12 commits right now. That's why I saw it. And I was like, that's bizarre. The reason why Michigan actually has about 24 players likely that are coming to the program, I thought 12. They're losing a tremendous amount of seniors.
Well,
this doesn't make any sense.
Letters of intent.
Signees, exactly.
Right.
So the thing is, Michigan, unlike all of these other programs, they're tracking it out. They're having a good time. And as you and I have already elaborately discussed, it's effective.
It definitely is. And I'm seeing here right now on the Free Press live stream of the Signing with the Stars event, it looks like the event has ended. But, you know, again, yeah, and this is the thing. I mean, you can't talk about certain recruits if they have not signed on the dotted line. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it may say 12 on ESPN right now. But, again, there are a ton of verbals that have yet just to send or fax. Or, do people even fax anymore? That's like
old
school thing,
right? I
don't think so. Fax machines are like dead. But yeah, to send over or fax, some have fax, I'm sure. They're signed national letters of intent. So, and you look at Alabama with 17, Ohio State with 18, Georgia with 20. And then again, you look at Michigan State, they have 19. So, again, we'll be covering the press conference for Michigan State signing day, 3 p.m. at Spartan Stadium. Coach D'Antonio, he'll have a cool video talking about his class, and he'll kind of go through the names and so on and so forth, and I'll be compiling a report, again, which you can view at facebook.com/currentsports. On tomorrow's show, we hope to have Jim Comperoni on with us. And, again, we'll continue signing day chatter on tomorrow's show as well. But we also will be inviting to the show Isaiah Hull, who covers recruiting for 247 Wolverine. And he'll talk about, he's at signing day right now. Got a chance to chat with Isaiah earlier this week. He's at signing day right now with the whole Signing of the Stars event and is covering that whole hoopla. So he'll sort of tell us about what the atmosphere was like during that event today. So loaded show as always. Again, if you wanted to weigh in, didn't get a chance to via our phone lines, you can do so by simply going to facebook.com/currentsports or by tweeting us at WKAR_sports or tweeting me at Al Martin WKAR. And a lot of you are very intrigued with this whole LeBron James and Charles Barkley beef. Isaac, I'm curious because I know you're a LeBron guy. Which side of the coin do you fall on in that conversation, real briefly?
I like Charles just because so much of NBA now is friendship. Let's get along. No, I mean, I love Charles going at him. I don't always agree with his points, but at the same time, it's nice to see a little bit of objective criticism for once.
I'm with you as well. Also, RIH to former Michigan State All-American Don Coleman, who passed away at the age of 88. Earlier this week, one of the greatest Michigan State football players to ever don the Spartan football jersey. That wraps up our show. We'll see you same time, same place tomorrow. As always, have a fantastic afternoon. Be easy, people.